Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Nitya Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitya Gaura Hari Bo. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parvrajagachara, Sotera, Sata Shri, Shimana's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samavedakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, all glories to the holy appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Pranim Ki Jai, all glories to symbol devotees, all glories to symbol devotees, all glories to symbol devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Jai Prabhupada, Namo Vishwaraya, Krishna Sai Bhutadaya, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Tinamani, Namaste, Sarasvati, Gauravani Pachani, Nirvishesha Shuni, Vadi Bhaskacha, Hadi Sarani. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Sorry, I have to, my glasses are fogging up, I have to dispense with the mask. Anyway, I'm fully vaccinated, and I recommend that to everyone. We're going to read today Adi Lila 319. Yuga Dharma Parvataima Nama Sankirtan. Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya Nachamu Bhavan. Yuga Dharma Parvataima Nama Sankirtan. Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya Nachamu Bhavan. Others? Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There's no purport. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. Now I'm going to skip ahead and read a few more verses, starting with text 26. My plenary portions can establish the principles of religion for each age. But no one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Vraja. There may be many all-auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Sri Krishna can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? Therefore, in the company of my devotees, I shall appear on earth and perform various colorful pastimes. Thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia, early in the age of Kali. So we are commemorating today the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is probably the most important day in the history of the world, in the history of this planet, at least for the last 5,000 years. We won't get in competition between Lord Krishna's appearance, Lord Chaitanya's appearance, but at least we know that in this Kali Yuga, no other day is important to us as devotees, as Vaishnavas, but actually to all living entities than this day that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed us by appearing in this world. Lord Chaitanya appeared in the full moon day of this month, Palguna, in 1486, according to the Western calendar, so over 500 years ago. And he came with a specific mission to save all the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga and give pure love of God. So Lord Chaitanya is accepted as a Yuga avatar, an incarnation of God, although he's actually Krishna himself, more than just a regular avatar. But he also performs the function of being the Yuga avatar, which means that he distributed the spiritual process for this age of Kali. Now, devotees don't accept anyone who shows up and says, I am an incarnation of God. In fact, Lord Chaitanya never said he was God. He always took the position of a devotee. But he was actually predicted. His appearance was predicted throughout the Vedic literatures, especially in the Padma Purana, the Narada Purana, Matsya and Agni Puranas, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. In so many places, thousands of years before he actually appeared, those predictions were there. Of course, we all are familiar with the 11th canto, which describes specifically Lord Chaitanya coming and inaugurating the Sankirtan movement. His mission. His mission, I think, is best summarized by Rupa Goswami. When Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami, he offered prayers, of course, to Lord Chaitanya. And the first prayer that he offered in Maja 1952 was this very famous prayer that I think we all learned. I think after the basis of Prabhupada is probably the second prayer I learned as a new devotee, because this is how we offered our prasadam, right? Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Tvishe Namaha. I probably have said that thousands of times, as have many of you, but I often don't think about it very carefully. You know, you're just offering your food and Namo Mahavishnu, you know. So, but the translation is beautiful. O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You've assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So Lord Chaitanya is inaugurating the Yuga Dharma as of Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name, which purifies all, which enlightens, which gives spiritual knowledge, which gives everything to all living entities. But more than that, he also is giving the highest realizations of pure love of God. As it's saying that he is distributing pure Krishna Prema, Krishna Prema Pradayate. So this is very, very amazing. Lord Chaitanya stated in the verses we read that his plenary portions can establish the principles of religion, but only Krishna himself can give pure Krishna Prema. Of course, a plenary portion means a partial representation of Krishna, but plenary means having full power. Plenary means, you know, one acts in the place of one, like a plenary official is empowered, the same as the, say in other words, like a diplomat would be a plenary representative of the government. So every incarnation of Krishna is full, complete, has all of Krishna's power, but they're not always fully manifested. They'll manifest different aspects of Krishna. So because Lord Chaitanya came in Kali Yuga, he had to give a process of self-realization, along with many other reasons why he came, which I'll talk about in a minute. Because Krishna performs many things at once. He's so unlimited, he so cleverly can perform activities which have multi-purposes, multi-functions. But Kali Yuga being the most difficult process, time for self-realization, we read in especially the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, people in Kali Yuga are unfortunate, they're unlucky, they're short-lived, they have bad memories, you know, they're prone towards sinful activities. We can't perform years and years of silent meditation and very, very difficult processes which might have been appropriate in former ages by the great saints and sages. So Lord Chaitanya gave the highest philosophy and the path to the deepest level of Krishna prema while introducing the most simple path of Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And thus, that is why he is the most merciful. He is considered the most magnanimous, the most merciful, compassionate expansion, incarnation, or whatever, of Lord Krishna, because he gives us the highest and asks the least. Prabhupada gave the example that when Krishna came, he says, Sarva Dharma Pratyajas, surrender unto me. Lord Chaitanya doesn't even ask us to surrender to him. He just says, chant Hare Krishna. So the process itself is very simple. But of course, Prabhupada said simple but sublime. It's not so easily understood in its full manifestation without a great deal of practice and devotion. But to begin the process of spiritual life is simple and available to everyone, thanks to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So, Krishna was completely empowered. Being Krishna, Lord Chaitanya was completely empowered being Krishna himself. But he exhibited different features of pastimes. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj describes the three different types of pastimes, the three features that Krishna exhibits: the Aishvarya pastimes, the Audarya pastimes, and the Madhurya pastimes. Of course, there's some overlap. It's not that every incarnation only does one, but you know, often we see them in specific ways. Aishvarya means majesty, power, the grandeur of the Supreme Lord. We see that in Vishnu and Narayan, and also Lila avatars such as Nrsingadeva, Varaha. They exhibit power. You know, they kill huge demons, or you know, they do magnificent feats that only God could do. And the Madhurya Lila, of course, many of the incarnations of, you know, have sweet pastimes with devotees, but we particularly see it in Krishna. When we think of Madhurya Lila, we think of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, his relationship with his devotees, with Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, with the cowherd boys, and specifically, most particularly, with the gopis and Srimati Radharani. This is the highest manifestation of these sweet pastimes. The Audarya pastimes are those that exhibit Krishna's merciful nature. And that, Krishna, of course, was very merciful. He was merciful to the Pandavas. We can think of so many pastimes with Kubja, the flower seller, the fruit vendor. He showed mercy at many times. But his primary feature was more Madhurya. The Audarya manifestation was most strongly shown in the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we think of the merciful pastimes and incarnations of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is first on the list. That's who we think of. Now, he was the most merciful, Namo Mahavanaya, Krishna Prema Vridayate, and given us the easiest process of self-realization. but it's also the very highest philosophy. So how did he do this? He inaugurated the Sankirtan movement to deliver all the jivas in Kali Yuga. And that primary process, of course, is the chanting of the holy name. The chanting allows us to experience Krishna, to become purified, to understand the nature of Krishna, and to experience a taste of the bliss of the relationship to Krishna. It's all about relationship. It's not just an abstract, intellectualized knowing of God, but it's having a relationship with God. We can have a relationship with the deities, with Radha Shyama Sundar. We can have a relationship with Krishna within our heart. We can have a relationship with Krishna as he's manifested, represented through devotees or the spiritual master. So it's all about relationship. And he gives us a taste of that up to the level of Krishna Prema eventually. He also gives his mercy by engaging us in the pastime of saving the conditioned souls. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Vikrasha Pandit? Is that what I'm thinking of? No. Who wanted to save all conditioned souls, take all the karma? Vasudev Dutta. In other words, who was an incarnation, he appeared as, he was Prahlad Maharaj in previous pastimes. So he said, I'll take on all of the karma of everyone in the universe, let me suffer and let them be liberated. Because that wasn't just some idle talk, that was his true feeling. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I so much appreciate that, but you don't need to do that, because I've already done it. I've already saved everyone in this universe by my mercy. But by his mercy, he also allows us to participate. He allows us to, Hare Krishna, participate by serving Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters in the Sankirtan movement of spreading Krishna consciousness, of spreading the holy name to every town and village. So we also get that mercy. Because for the devotee, it's not just about what do I get. It's not just about getting the blessings, getting the mercy, taking. It's also about giving. And giving means service. It means bhakti. It means love and devotion. We want to offer back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, back to Krishna. And the best way to do that is by helping in their mission. Just like the best way to serve Srila Prabhupada is to help promote his mission. So that's an opportunity that's given to us all. Now, one thing I want to talk about also was the significance that Lord Chaitanya Gaura comes in the color and the mood of Radharani. He is golden complexion like Radharani, and he also has a similar mood. Now, it's interesting because the first chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita spend a lot of time, many, many verses, describing the reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And they're divided basically into what's called the external and the internal reasons. So the external reason, of course, was the Yuga Dharma, spreading the Sankirtan movement. That's what it outwardly appeared he was doing. But he also had an internal mood, which I won't spend a lot of time with that because it's, you know, pretty much above my level of realization. But we can understand from reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and Prabhupada's commentaries that he had three reasons why he wanted to come, his own reasons. One was he desired to relish the mellow of loving devotional service as the object in the mood of Radharani. In other words, he's always the subject. His devotees are always loving him. So he wanted to experience, what's it like to be a devotee? You know, to, on the other side, what is it like to have that feeling of devotion, you know, that my devotees have to me? He also wanted to understand the mellow of himself, why everyone was attracted to him. What was the attraction? It's hard to experience that yourself, but if he took the role of the devotee, then he could understand that. And thirdly, a little bit like the first one, but more intently, he wanted to enjoy the sweetness tasted by Radharani. So he wanted to come in that mood of Radharani so he could experience what Radharani's experiencing, the taste and sweetness of Krishna. So therefore, he came as his own devotee. This is a very rare incarnation, that he did not come as God. He came as the devotee of God. He came as the devotee of Krishna. And in fact, when people say, oh, you are God, he would put his hands over his ears and say, I don't want to hear that. I'm just a devotee. Of course, the intimate devotees knew who he really was. And of course, he sometimes manifested that. Sometimes he showed different forms, four-arm forms, or he showed the devotees in different ways that he really was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But his basic mood was as a devotee, in the mood of Radharani. So it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Radha and Krishna are one, but they eternally separate. So you have the lover and beloved. You have the energy and the energetic source. In other words, you have this two together eternally. But now, in Lord Chaitanya, they've come back as one. So eternally separated, but now back together as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, of course, the external reasons we've talked about to propagate the Yuga Dharma, to introduce the Sankirtan Yajna to the world. I'll just describe this. I'll just read a little bit more from Chaitanya Charitamrita from Adi Leela, Chapter 3. At the end of Dwapar Yuga, in the 28th day of Divi Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Rajadham. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys in Raja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastime as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus, for a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service, thank you, to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Knowing my opulence, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration, but devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. Thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. The religious practice for the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord, in a yellow color, descended as Lord Chaitanya. So when Krishna comes, as described in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he comes for three principal reasons. And as described, that he comes to annihilate the miscreants, to kill the demoniac, to establish principles of religion, and to protect and give pleasure to the devotees. So these incarnations do these things generally. And Krishna is very expert in how he does this. Just as we see Krishna, basically in one pastime, the battle of Kurukshetra, he annihilated the demoniac kings, he protected all his devotees, and he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna right in the middle of the battlefield. So this is Krishna's expertise, being able to accomplish everything. So as the most merciful incarnation, who gives pure love of God, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not kill the devotees. He does not kill the non-devotees. Of course, he doesn't kill devotees. He does not kill the non-devotees, but he delivers them by killing the demonic mentality. The prophet explains this in a lecture on CCID 7.3. He says, this is Prabhupada. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to kill the demon, not by life, but by their heinous activities. Anyone who comes to be killed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heinous, nefarious activities become killed, and he becomes a Vaishnava, just like Jagai Madai. So at the present moment, the whole world is full of Jagai Madai, their four principles. Jagai Madai means illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. This is Jagai Madai. So this movement, Krishna conscious movement, is killing these Jagai Madai principles. So one side killing the Jagai Madai principle, and the other side protection, giving the chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right, so this is another interesting distinction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it's Kali Yuga, everyone is practically of a demoniac mentality or activity, so he has to, with even more mercy, simply kill our demoniac mentality and transform us into devotees. There's a very interesting pastime in Chaitanya Mangala. And this is when Lord Krishna first decides to appear as Gauranga. And he reveals his form for the first time. This is 5,000 years ago. It begins first, Rukmini is talking with him, and she's very, very open and frank. And she laments that Krishna cannot understand devotee's great love. She was saying, you don't understand how deeply your devotees love you, particularly Srimati Radharani. How can you understand? You need to be able to understand. And actually, you would actually feel that devotion and love thousands of times more than you do even now if you understood Srimati Radharani's love. And so he thought about that. And as he was contemplating that, how he might do that, who walks in? Narada Muni, right? Narada Muni's always there. Narada Muni comes in, and he's lamenting something quite different, the condition of the world in Kali Yuga. He's looking forward, and he's anticipating Lord Krishna's disappearance in the world, and he is seeing how everything will become degraded, and there will be no chanting and glorification of the Supreme Lord. So he says, Narada, don't worry. I've got this covered. Here's what I'm going to do. To fulfill both purposes, what Rukmini is saying about understanding the love of the devotees, understanding Srimati Radharani, and to reestablish religion, to bring back the chanting of the holy name, I will come as Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya. So, he plans to make the world Krishna conscious. I'm reading, this is from Chaitanya Mangala, starting at page 18, it's not in verses. He says, I shall become a devotee of myself in order to taste the happiness relished by my pure devotees. Not only will I experience the bliss of prema bhakti, but I will give it out to everyone in the world. Although I'm the Supreme Lord, I will appear as my own devotee. In the association of other devotees, I will freely distribute my love by performing Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chantings of the holy name. I will appear in my transcendental abode of Navadweep in Sridhar Mayapur within the home of Sachimata. Then Krishna explained the qualities of his incarnation Kali Yuga by which he would attract the conditioned souls. And he described himself. He says, Narada, my transcendental body will be tall, molten golden color, and my arms will be long and beautiful. While absorbed in this ecstasy, Lord Krishna suddenly showed his form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Narada Muni fainted in divine rapture upon beholding this most beautiful form of Lord Krishna, which would appear in the coming age. Lochan Das, the author, says this was the first time that Lord Krishna revealed the transcendental form of Lord Gauranga, the beautiful golden Lord saturated with pure love of God. So, thousands and 5,000 years ago, after his conversations with Srimati Rukmini and with Narada Muni, he made this decision. It's sort of like, I have to come anyway as the yoga avatar, so why don't I do this? I will give everyone pure love of God, and I will also experience the love of the devotees and love of Radharani. So we're talking about the mood of Radharani. What does that really mean, her mood? First of all, we understand that the most merciful personality, spiritual personality in existence, is none other than Srimati Radharani. Her mercy, her compassion is incomparable. This is from a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.23, where Srila Prabhupada says, in the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures. Jai Shri Shri Radhashama Sindhya Jai Krishna Malaram Jai Shri Shri Gornitai. But he is very easily approachable through his pure devotees. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of worldly feminine nature. Therefore, this is the mood that Lord Chaitanya came in. The mood of Radharani, the mood of great mercy to the devotees. And so he was able to understand love of Krishna, himself, from her perspective, and experience her ecstasy, and simultaneously, in her mood, most merciful mood, he was able to execute the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan, giving the world Krishna Prema through the easiest path of Harinam Sankirtan. So, I was thinking about this a lot over the last few days, thinking about this class, and I even myself often talk about these are the external reasons, these are the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. But there's actually an intersection, a confluence. You know, it's not that they're totally separate. And that connection is his appearance in that mood of Radharani. So that not only is, of course, the impetus for his understanding, his internal reasons, understanding the love of Radharani, but also in that merciful mood, he's able to enact the Sankirtan movement and give Krishna consciousness to the whole world. So, what does it mean to us? Since this is such an important day, Lord Chaitanya's appearance. We know that we have been given this very wonderful process of self-realization. Chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam. Prabhupada would say, chanting, dancing, taking prasadam is simply recreation. What's the, no? It's a little more than that, of course. But it certainly beats meditating underwater for 10,000 years or, you know, other things that we read about in the Srimad Bhagavatam as far as processes of self-realization. So we're given this process, but we're also given the highest philosophy. The Vaishnava Sampradayas, they present the deepest philosophy, the true position of the living entity, the true position of Krishna, and it's not sentiment. It's based upon the reality of Krishna's presence. Now, the historical development that sort of leads up to Lord Chaitanya's appearance is somewhat interesting. At least, I thought it was. Of course, first of all, we know, when did Lord Buddha appear? About 600 AD? Something like that, right? 500, 600? I think it's around that time, about 1,500 years ago. At that time, conditions were very bad. And the Vedic injunctions and rituals were used for animal slaughter. So to stop animal sacrifice, Lord Buddha came, he appeared, and he taught ahimsa, nonviolence. So he established that. However, the Vedas were no longer followed. So then Sankaracharya, which I think was about 700 or 800 AD, 700 something, yeah, he then, through his power, of course, he was an empowered, he's an incarnation of Lord Shiva, I believe, very, very empowered. He reestablished the Vedas, but he also established the philosophy of Kevaladvaitavada, or monism, impersonalism, Mayavadi philosophy. So after that, it took some generations and some centuries to reestablish Vaishnavism through the very, very important four Vaishnava Sampradayas. That they came later. Madhvacharya was about 1,000, then Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, and then Bharaka. I think we're getting almost up to the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by that point. So they had an increasingly developed philosophical understanding of these ideas of monism and dualism. Won't go into all of that, but it's, you know, it's all very technical. But they had different understandings of the idea of Krishna and the living entities. Of course, Vaishnava understandings, but it developed more and more. And so Lord Chaitanya took the key elements from each acharya to establish a philosophy which we know of as Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. So from Madhvacharya, he took the idea that Madhvacharya refuted Mayavadi philosophy and he established the transcendental service of the Murti of Sri Krishna, of deity worship. And then Ramanuja taught the tenets of bhakti, unpolluted by karma and jnana, and service to the Vaishnavas. And Vishnu Swami taught exclusive dependence upon Krishna and the path of raga bhakti, or spontaneous service. And then Nimbarka taught the process of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and love of the gopis as the highest spiritual attainment. So Nimbarka's philosophy was probably the closest to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya took all these elements and developed and spoke about and taught Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which simply means the inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. So this whole argument about is everything one, is everything different, it's easily understood and explained by the idea of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. It's both. There are some things that are same, there are some things that are different. Krishna and the living entity are qualitatively one. We have that same spiritual essence, but quantitatively very different. I've always thought this was such a simple idea, and it's explained so simply by Prabhupada's scriptures that it's remarkable how people have trouble with this, isn't it? You know, they're trying to understand that they're not God, you know. And so many wonderful examples and analogies are given in our scriptures and the Prabhupada uses of, you know, comparing the ocean with a drop of water, same quality. If you analyze the water in that drop of water, the water in your hand, it's the same. But the drop of water is not the whole ocean. Or the sun and the sun ray, or the entire fire and a spark of the fire. So many different ways it can be explained. Same qualities, but very different quantity. Krishna is very great, we are very small. Quite simple to understand. Yeah. And so Krishna also has, is he impersonal or personal? He's both. He has a personal feature and an impersonal feature. Impersonal, but he always keeps his identity. We see, you know, even the Srimad Bhagavatam that says Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavanati Shavyate, that Krishna is known in these different ways, and knowing, understanding Krishna's Brahman as his spiritual effulgence is one understanding of a spiritual understanding of Krishna. But what the devotee understands is that's simply the rays coming from the body of Krishna, and that spiritual body of Krishna is their origin. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the origin of all in his original feature of Krishna. And everything else is coming from him. Super soul is coming from him. Brahman is coming from him. These are all his energies. So we know that nothing is different from the absolute. In other words, there can't be anything in creation which is not part of Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna has variegated energies. Bhagavad Gita 9:4 says, by me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. In other words, Krishna expands through his energies, all living entities, the material energy, everything coming from him, but he does not lose his identity. He remains that one original supreme. And that's all part of the understanding that Lord Chaitanya came and spoke about and taught. And particularly, as we know, we only have 8 written verses, the Shikshastakam, from him. But he extensively instructed his disciples, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who wrote deeply about the philosophy. So we have from Rupa Goswami, Nectar Devotion, Nectar Instruction, so many things, Sanatana Goswami, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Hari Bhaktivilas, etc. And many other devotees and the 6 Goswamis, all of their writings, because he instructed them to write about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is understood by understanding his energies. And of course, Srimati Radharani is his principal internal energy. So we understand all these things fairly simply, actually. So Lord Chaitanya, the 6 Goswamis, and the other devotees, they taught the process of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, the process of love and devotion, of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So through that process, we understand the highest philosophy, and through that practice of Bhakti Yoga, we become purified of all of our past karma and our anartas. This is how we are being saved in this material world. And not just that, but we develop our relationship with Krishna little by little, up to the level of prema, up to pure love. And that chanting enables us to develop our eternal identity, our sarup, as Krishna's eternal servant. We do that by understanding that Krishna is non-different from his name. And that highest level of bhakti all the way up to bhava and prema is obtainable through the process of hearing, chanting, the nine process of devotional service, the processes of sadhana bhakti, and specifically chanting. Chanting is the names of God is the most powerful practice for us. I was rereading Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami recently. It's just a wonderful book. And it's in part 2, chapter 5, verse 218. Sanatana Goswami discusses attaining prema. And he describes, of course, very, very high levels of realization. And he says it's a process of emulating the gopas and gopis in Vrindavan. And I'm reading along thinking, this is really going to be difficult to attain. How am I going to emulate the gopis and gopas of Vrindavan? I'm not on that level. I mean, if that's what you have to do, what hope is there? And then he says, in verse 218, oops. I don't have this on file now. In verse 218, one develops that love by practicing devotional service, whose main ways are meditation and singing about the many Vraja pastimes of the Lord. That service becomes brilliant by sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names. In his commentary, Sanatana Goswami says, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which consists of nine basic devotional practices, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering, prepares the devotee's heart for the awakening of prema, love of God. Dhyana and kana, the general methods of remembering and chanting about the Supreme Lord and his pastimes, transform in advanced stages of sadhana into prishta nama sankirtan, ecstatic absorption in the nectarian names of one's worshipable Lord. This sankirtan is the most essential means of achieving prema. By nam sankirtan, one easily realizes the full glories of Krishna and his pleasure potency. So, nothing really new to us, but I find it very reinforcing when our acharyas make these points so strongly that, yes, this may seem like a very, very lofty goal of Krishna prema, but it can be obtained. It can be obtained through this process that we've been given of bhakti yoga. And Sanatana Goswami and all the other acharyas are saying, chant Hare Krishna, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. And we see this over and over again. Haridas Thakur, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, is called Namacharya, right? The acharya, or the exemplar of the holy name. What did he do? Well, he did go on Harinam Sankirtan, with he and Lord Nityananda would go chant, on the streets. But I don't think he spent a lot of time with that, because mostly he was chanting 300,000 names of God, which is 192 rounds. That takes some time. Has anyone ever chanted 192 rounds in one day? No. I remember I was at one of those japa retreats with Sachinanda Maharaj. They were really wonderful, and he was so into the chanting holy name, and he was saying, and they have one day where you do 64 rounds, and he said 64 rounds isn't difficult. He says even 100 rounds, 108 rounds, that's doable. He said, but 192? He says, I don't think so. I couldn't do that. This is his whole thing, the chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, very, very difficult. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj did that also, right? For years. He wanted to chant, a total of 1 billion names? Yes. So over about 9 or 10 years, he was chanting like that, like Haridas Thakur. So we see our acharyas, even recent acharyas, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, have shown us that chanting Hare Krishna, chanting japa, is so essential. This is the process we've been given. The six Goswamis, they chanted, it says, like, what does it say? A measured rounds or measured number, what's their practice? And we see pictures of them with their japa beads, like that, right? So, this is so important. This is the way of realizing Krishna, of overcoming this material world that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. this Nam Sankirtan, this chanting of the holy names of God. So I wanted to read a couple things here. First, I don't know when they... This is reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Adi 13, 77 through 98. This is the actual description of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. In the month of January, in the year 1406 of the Shaka era, AD 1485, Lord Krishna entered the bodies of both Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. Jagannath Mishra said to Sachi Mata, "I see wonderful things. Your body is effulgent, and it appears as if the goddess of fortune were now staying personally in my home. Anywhere and everywhere I go, all people offer me respect. Even without my asking, they voluntarily give me riches, clothing, and paddy." Sachi Mata told her husband, "I see wonderful, brilliant human beings appearing in outer space, as if offering prayers." This reminds me of Vasudeva and Devaki, right, when the demigods came, when she was pregnant. Jagannath Mishra then replied, "In a dream I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart. From my heart it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality will soon take birth." After this conversation, both husband and wife were very jubilant, and together they rendered service to the household Shalagram Shila. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month. 13 months, poor lady, huh? But there was still no sign of delivery of the child. This Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. Nilambar Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then did an astrological calculation and said that in that very month, taking advantage of an auspicious moment, the child would take birth. Thus, in the year 1407 of the Shaka era, or AD 1486, in the month of Phalguna, February, March, in the evening of the full moon day, the desired auspicious moment arrived. When the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, inundated the three worlds. All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of Gaur Hari, advented himself on earth. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Muslims, jokingly imitated the words. While all the ladies vibrated the holy name of Hari on earth, in the heavenly planets, dancing and music were going on, for the demigods were very curious. In this atmosphere, all the 10 directions became jubilant, as did the waves of the river. Moreover, all beings, moving and non-moving, were overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. Thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gaur Hari, rose in the district of Nadia. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So, got a few minutes here. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we've been talking about, I guess the theme here was his mercy. How merciful he is to the living entities. And he exhibited this in so many different ways and different pastimes. One of the ways I was thinking was Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, of course, was taken by the Qazi or the Nawab, whoever it was. And because he was getting people, especially the Muslims,
a little apprehensive because I might have to say, this isn't religion, this is spirituality. You know, this is about yoga and meditation. And then sometimes I'm almost at the point where I can say, do you want to chant the Maha Mantra with me for a while? I'll say stuff like, we chant Hare Krishna, have you ever heard it? You know, and sometimes I get really confused. Do I want to jeopardize the book sale to get them to chant the mantra? I was wondering if you would like to elaborate on that at all, what you think.
My opinion is listen to Krishna within the heart, how he directs you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Usually you kind of will get the sense of how much you can speak with someone. Obviously, not everybody is ready to hear different levels of philosophy. So that's kind of part of your judgment and intelligence. And intelligence is directed by Super Soul. So we just pray to Krishna. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. And Mother Sukada, who's much more experienced at this, can probably give a better answer based upon her many years of book distribution.
Yes. Mother Sukada's lotus feet. And see if she'll carry us the rest of the way. I was just thinking of the last section that you were reading about how, you know, people chanted and then it just kind of carried on, just kept on going. And did it say until everyone became Krishna conscious? Is that how it?
Oh, you mean the Jarakanda pastime?
Yeah.
Well, it said everyone that they met in the villages.
Everyone they met.
Yeah, everyone that came and encountered. And then they would chant and someone else would hear that
right. And
it would get spread like that.
Because it seems like that's what happens here, too.
Yeah.
You know, that even you hear about devotees who've left, but then they are also pass it on. And then those people come to the temple and take it up seriously. So it just seems like, I mean, this golden age goes on for 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. We're into it about, what, 535, something like that,
mm-hmm.
years?
Yeah.
So the idea that by the end of this, so many souls will have heard the mantra. I mean, already, so many have heard it.